John chapter 10. Gospel of John chapter 10. We'll just go from verse 14 through to 18. John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And the next passage is from the Gospel of John again in chapter 15, a few pages over. Chapter 15, verse 14 through to 17. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Thanks, Will.
Thanks very much for having me back again. I spoke a few months ago, and it was really great to get to know some of you. I spoke on the topic of how to do mission. And so today, I want to go back a little bit and look at the why do mission at all. So I want to just start with a little thought experiment. Imagine somebody has just given a really good talk on how to do mission. And I'm just meaning mission here, just mean telling other people what Jesus has done for them. And at the end of the talk, that person comes up to you and says, would you like to put it into practice? Would you like to go out and do some mission? Would you like to maybe invite people to something the church is running? Or would you like to tell your own friends about Jesus and offer to read the Bible with them? And maybe your first reaction is to maybe lock your smile in place. Say, yeah, that sounds really, really great. Because sometimes it can be really scary doing mission. And if you go back and look at the talk from a few months ago, how to do mission, you can see it doesn't really have to be scary. It can be as simple as just starting to pray for people who don't know Jesus. But often I find that it comes down to our motivations for doing mission, our motivation for telling other people about Jesus. And it's all well and good when we hear about the theory, but when we want to put it into practice, sometimes it can feel like maybe I'm obliged to do mission, but I don't really know why I should be doing it. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you may be thinking, oh no, this is a terrible time to be here because I don't even necessarily agree with this stuff about Jesus. But so why would I want to tell other people about Jesus? Well, let me tell you that there's something very valuable for you here today as well. You're going to get a bit of an insight into why Jesus died and why he said that he was willing to die. And you're also going to hear about what Christianity offers that's very different to any other way of being. But let me start and just get straight into it with the first reason why you want to do mission. And the first reason is because you know the Father. Because you know the Father. If you have a look at John 10, 14 to 18, I'll go through it again. There we go. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have to be so careful now that my little boy Perry is 2 years old when I'm driving, and if I get annoyed at another driver and I say something in the car, he will immediately echo it. And I just had that moment of realizing that driver training doesn't start when he gets his L's, it actually starts right now. He sees what the Father does and he wants to do it as well, even if that means being angry at somebody who has cut us off or done something dangerous. Maybe there's a couple of people who identify with that as well. What's true of a flawed human father, how much more so is it true of Jesus and his perfect Father? Jesus does his mission because he knows the Father, because of his relationship with the Father. In John 10, Jesus is addressing his disciples and is explaining his love of the sheep, which is a metaphor for all humankind. And Jesus is letting his disciples into the secret of why he would be willing to die. It's baffling the disciples. Why would Jesus want to die? Why would he be willing to die? That's a big question. And Jesus gives the answer. The Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is willing to give up his life, lay down his life, because he knows the Father. What does he know about the Father? Well, he knows what the Father loves. The Father loves the sheep, the people. He's willing to die on their behalf because he knows, he's seen how much his Father loves the people, and he wants to die on their behalf to please the Father. Now, if you're not a Christian, something helpful here for you is an insight into why Jesus said that he was willing to die. He says, for love of the sheep. And in this metaphor, that includes you. Jesus loves you and was willing to lay down his life because he knew how much the Father loves you, and that inspired him to love you enough to die for you as well. Before my current job, I worked for Vodafone in the call center, and my job was in the analytics team, and we provided analysis and data for one of the customer care teams so that they could look after their customers. And it was really hard job to stay engaged because I would turn up in the morning and I'd start about 7, and all my reports had to be done before 9, which was when the big meetings were happening for all of the customer care teams. So I was very busy between 7 and 9 doing these reports. I'd send them off and then I'd have all the rest of the day to do pretty much nothing. And you might think that sounds like a great job, but it's not. You get really, really bored. And I would spend the rest of the afternoon writing computer programs to make it a bit quicker to do my work in the morning, so I'd be more efficient in the morning. But very soon I got to the point where I'd press a button in the morning and I was done, and now I had nothing to do and I was just ready to quit. I was actively trying to get myself made redundant so I could get out of there. But what I did, what my boss suggested I do to change my way of thinking about this was, instead of sitting with all of the other analysts, I moved and sat with the customer care team, the people I was serving. And what I found was that what they needed and what they were focused on and what their challenges were was way different to what I was providing them with each day. They actually needed all of this other stuff that I could provide. There was all of these other ways that I could help that team. that I just didn't know, because I just didn't know the people in that team. I was sitting off in my little bubble with all the other analysts. But when I got in and actually sat next to and found out what they were working on an average day and the sort of obstacles that they were coming up against, I was actually able to change my way of thinking about that work and actually work hard to serve them properly. And I went from being highly disengaged in my job and ready to quit, feeling like I was just a waste of resources in that organization, to actively wanting to spend my day helping the people around me because I got to know them. So how does this help you to know why you should do mission? Well, back to the thought experiment. Why should you do mission? When somebody comes up to you afterwards, after a talk, and says, would you like to invite your friend to come to a church event? You know the Father. You know that the Father loved the people he created so much that he was willing to die by sending his Son. If you love the Father, love what he loves. If you love the Father, love what he loves. Let the love of God drive you to tell the other people. In John, he calls them the sheep. Tell the other people the good news about Jesus. Now, our mission is very different. Jesus was sent to die on behalf of all the people, and that is not our mission. Our mission is to just tell other people about this good news so they can take hold of that rescue. Although we're on different missions in one way, in another way, we're on exactly the same mission. We're still being part of God's plan to rescue mankind. So take what Jesus says about his own motivation seriously. He didn't come just motivated by obedience, although he was obedient. He came motivated by the love of the Father. Now, you may say, that sounds fantastic for Jesus, but Jesus pre-existed with the Father for eternity in the Trinity. And that's not open to us. That's not something that can be true for us. We can't even have 40 days on a mountaintop with God like Moses did. That might be the pinnacle of spending time with the Father. But I want to tell you my second point is Jesus calls you a friend. Jesus calls you a friend. If you flick over to John chapter 15, verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I heard from my Father. Jesus made it really clear that he was inviting the disciples into his inner circle to know his motives and his plans. Verse 15, I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. What's the difference between a servant and a friend in this image that Jesus is painting? Well, a servant doesn't know the reasons. The servant just follows the instructions. The way Jesus is explaining it here, a servant doesn't persevere, doesn't go the extra mile. The servant just does what he or she is told and then stops. And the way Jesus is explaining it, a friend knows the plans of their friend, uses all their skills and abilities, perseveres and succeeds. Jesus isn't talking to servants anymore who just act and obey, who just follow, but friends who know what's going on. You know, it's really wonderful that we have Jesus who is a person that we can get to know. God could have just sent more stone tablets. God could have just sent a longer list of things to do. But instead, he sent a person. And read the Gospels. And if you read the Gospel as, I'm just looking for a list of rules to follow, you're going to find it really hard to read the Gospels because that's not what the Gospel is. The Gospels are a story about a person called Jesus that you can get to know. And the disciples went out, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, they changed the world as friends of Jesus, not just following the rules that Jesus had set down and going through and checking them off one by one. Now, if you're not a Christian here today, then I want you to hear this. Jesus is calling you a friend. This is not an offer of a theoretical, vague, and distant God. This is a knowable, loving, real person who wants to get to know you, who wants you to get to know him. At the start of the pandemic last year, I had ordered some shopping and it was cancelled, and it was, you know, not a big deal because obviously there was a lot of things going on. Everyone had to be cool with things not going to plan, and so I just went and instead of having the shopping delivered, I went and collected it. I thought, that's fine. And I got home, I thought, oh, I still got charged for the delivery fee, so maybe I'll just call and get that refunded. You know, it's $15, not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but thought I'll just, you know, a phone call, $15, no problem. And I spoke to somebody who said, oh yeah, I see, it's just that because it was delivered, we can't refund the delivery fee. I said, well, the thing is, it wasn't really delivered. I delivered it, so I don't really want to pay $15 for delivering my own shopping. And the customer service person said, oh, okay, yeah, no, I understand. It's just that there's no button really for me to refund it because it's showing as having been delivered. And, you know, I having worked at Vodafone, I've been in exactly the same situation. And I know exactly, you know, I've got the policy there, and there's no room to move around the policy. And so I felt compassion for this person, having had the same problem. But eventually, they put me onto the manager, and the manager said, no problems, fixed it straight away, right? Because the manager knows the bigger picture here, right? The manager is the friend of Vodafone in this metaphor, because of Woolworths. The manager knows that, what does Woolworths want? Woolworths wants happy customers, right? Does Woolworths want $15 at the expense of a happy customer? Does Woolworths want customers to pay for their delivering their own shopping? No, and was able to just make the problems go away. So I want to call you to be a friend of Jesus, to think like a friend. In a sense, we're all servants of Jesus, but he's calling you to be more than that. He's calling you to be a friend. And when you think about doing mission, don't just do it because it says in the Great Commission that you have to. That's not the only reason. That's a good reason. But there's so much more to it than that. It's because Jesus has called you to be a friend, and he's let you in to his reasons. He's let you in to the plan, the full story. We have this wonderful insight into why Jesus did his mission. And so how do you do this? Well, spend time with him. Spend time with him. Develop your friendship with him. We can't spend 3.5 years going around Israel with Jesus as one of his disciples, but what's the next best thing? Get to know his church. Get to know the people in the church. That's your family. Spend time in prayer, getting to know him. Spend time in the Bible, reading about what he has done. And why not go out and start to share Jesus? Sometimes I find that I learn the most about Jesus when I'm sharing Jesus with other people, because I get questions that I've never thought of before. And I love it because I get to find out more about who Jesus is. Now, I want to say, first of all, don't worry. Don't worry. It doesn't have to be something huge to be mission. God can work through you regardless of your circumstances, the strength of your faith, and your abilities. Because Jesus died to save the world, and he has already done that hard work, and he's calling you as a friend to do what you can in the place that he's put you. If you follow Jesus, he's calling you a friend and he's letting you in on his plans. And it's your friendship with God and the intimacy that you have with the Father that gives you the motivation and the energy to reach out to other people with good news. Let me finish with a prayer. Lord God, thank you that we can know you. Thank you that we can get to know you through prayer, through your Bible, through knowing the church. And thank you that you want us to know you well. Thank you that you have given us the story of Jesus, that we can find out all about his character, all about his personality, all about what he has done. And that we didn't just get more rules, more stone tablets, but we got a person who lived and died and rose again for us. Help us as we think about how we are called to share your good news, that we might do so bravely and do so in a way that shares Jesus' love and Jesus' sacrifice with people and encourages them. In your holy name, amen.